Hear now the word of the Lord from Mark 1, 40 through 45. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was angered, or Jesus was compassionate. We'll come back to that. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See to it that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in the lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Once upon a time, there was a man who was sick. That man heard through the grapevine that there was someone in town who was in the business of healing. Not a snake oil salesman with slicked back hair and a pearly grin, but someone who brought true, lasting healing. Little did the sick man know that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was bringing good news far more than physical healing, and yet that physical healing was what another storyteller of the time would call a sign. And signs point to things greater than themselves. Signs tell us to be on the lookout for something other than the sign. When you see a road sign, you don't keep looking at the sign. You look for what it's telling you to look for, to be aware, to be on the lookout. When I was a child, I was always a little disappointed when I saw the sign, "Falling Rocks," to never get to see the falling rocks that they had advertised so falsely to my thrill-seeking five-year-old on the lookout eyes. But the sick, sick man knew better than anyone that however and why ever this healing was happening, he knew that if he could just get to the healing man, that if the healing man was willing, perhaps he could make him clean, whole, healed. And it takes no genius to assume that as those opening lines hit your listening ears, that you too might like to find this Jesus who has the ability to heal. This Jesus who not only can heal, but who still does heal. And that, my dear church family, is what the Gospel of Mark called at the beginning of this chapter, the beginnings of the good news of Jesus. Because if last week was a call to embark on a mission, today we see that our mission is to be a community of Jesus's people who are about the business of healing. You may have noticed that I began this sermon with the phrase, "Once upon a time." When we hear that phrase, our minds automatically go into fairy tale mode, which is exactly the point of this story about the sick man and the healing Jesus. But this is no mere fairy tale in the sense that it is some made-up story, but rather a fairy tale in the truest classical sense of the word, that tells a story that believes in the impossible. Like the oft-quoted saying, fairy tales are more than true, not because they tell us dragons exist, but because they tell us that dragons can be defeated. We, as the Good News people of Jesus, are being asked in this story, at the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark. Remember, we're still at the beginning of the story. We're being asked at the very beginning of the story to believe in the impossible. But not to just believe in the impossible, not just to watch it happen, but to start walking with Jesus, to go with Jesus, to even practice the impossible of defeating the demons of all bad things. The sick man comes to Jesus. Jesus heals the man. That's it. Did you notice that in the story? Comes to Jesus, heals him, end of story. Mark tells the story so quickly that he never even gives us time to ask, wait, what just happened? Can you rewind that and let us watch that again? Because did I just see what I thought I saw? And then we have this difficult word to translate after the sick man asks to be healed. Mark says that Jesus was angered. But the word in Mark 1 also can mean filled with compassion. And here we are 2,000 years later, and I guess, you know, just pick the one you like better. They both tell a good story in some way or another, but here's the truth. He asks to be healed. Jesus was angered. Rewind. Jesus was compassionate. Jesus was filled with compassion. Truth is, we don't know what Jesus was thinking, what Jesus was feeling, or even at this point in the story, what Jesus was up to, which, who knows, may have been Mark's intention all along. Mark is, after all, that kind of storyteller who half the time is going to leave us feeling amazed, confused, bewildered, and full of questions, kind of like real life. But the good news of this story, and the entire story, is the other side of Mark. If Mark leaves us feeling unsettled half the time, and he does, the other half of the time, the story reminds us that Jesus heals. That our mission is to heal. You see, the word at the beginning of this story, at the end of Mark 1, introduces us to what the passage calls, a man with leprosy, which is actually just a catch-all term for any and every bad visible skin condition that had one main impact at the time. You know what it was? You are disqualified from the temple, which pretty much meant that you were out of the kingdom of God, because Levitical law deemed you ceremonially unclean. And Jesus changed that, because when the sick man comes to Jesus and makes his request, I want you to notice what Jesus does not do, which is what rabbis / priests / whatever else of his sort were supposed to do. Guy with leprosy comes up. Rabbi's supposed to, whoa, back off. You're ceremonially unclean. Jesus was angry. Maybe he was angry because he was a part of a system that expected him to behave that way. Full of compassion. He was full of compassion because the ceremonially unclean leper man was a part of a system that kept him away. I know that we've been talking a lot the past few weeks about our LGBTQ siblings, but it is because of this kind of story that is populated with individuals who want to be with Jesus, are made whole by Jesus, are seen as real people, but the rules say that they would have been called ceremonially unclean, which is just old theology words that mean you can't come in. It's like the movie Mean Girls. When they sit at the girl sits at the cafeteria table and they tell her, you can't sit with us. I don't know why Jesus told the unclean man made clean to keep quiet. The text does not say. You can read all kinds of commentaries about, well, this is why Jesus told the man to keep clean. They're just making stuff up. We don't know because the text doesn't say. We can have theories, and there's nothing wrong with having theories, but at the end of the day, Jesus said, keep quiet, and the text doesn't tell us why Jesus said, keep quiet. But it should come as no surprise in the Gospel of Mark, even at this early stage, that the unclean man who became clean did everything other than keep quiet. Now, whether that was intentional or not, the outcome of the man's life remained the same. And it was an outcome where fairy tales became reality, where impossible became the truth, where you realize that you have the opportunity to be the opposite of the mean girls at the cafeteria table who said, you can't sit with us. And really, who's changing here? Who's really changing here? Is it the leper? Because I don't think that's what this story is about. Who's really changing? Is it the crowd? Who is watching? Is it the reader? Is this story about us? Is it about the leper? Yes. But I also think that it is about giving us hope when the world writes you off. Because you've probably been on the receiving end of you can't sit with us at some point in your life. And maybe you haven't, but a lot of us have. But whether you have or not, the kingdom of God is about widening the circle and opening the door and healing all those people who want to be seen as whole people by the hand of Jesus, not just partial people. All I know is that the good news of Jesus is about opening the door to all who come to Jesus and say, if you are willing. And if that means that we practice being open and affirming, which, y'all, is who we've been in practice already, but if using the language specifically helps people get up the nerve to even come up and approach Jesus and say, if you are willing, that I'm more than willing to do anything and everything we can to make sure that the good news is able to be heard, lived, and practiced every single day. Every one of us who ever hears the beginnings of the good news of Jesus needs to remember that in one setting or another, someone is going to look at you and think that you are on the outside. I mean, come on. You're at Bearing. And a lot of people out there in the church world think that you have gone completely off the deep end. Had somebody tell me that one time, by the way. You're going to Bearing? You've gone off the deep end. I made a snide remark. I'll tell it to you afterwards if you want to hear. What'd you tell him? Just come up and ask. But I cannot imagine that a single person in this room would ever say to anyone who ever comes into this room, present or future, and past, that a single one of us would ever say to another human being who wants to come to Jesus, clean, unclean, or in between, that a single one of us would ever say, "You can't sit with us." Look, I don't have all the answers on racism or ageism or how to handle all the ins and outs of the suffering of our LGBTQ siblings or how to vote in this culture or gun violence or global war, but I do know this. We are a church embarking on the same mission that we've embarked on over and over again, and it is a mission of healing. The words we use matter. Our actions have always opened our arms. It's who we are. We're just saying it out loud. And speaking of words, I'm probably saying all of this wrong. I'm probably saying this the wrong way. And I probably said some things the wrong way, but look, I think what truly matters is that we need to be willing to go to great lengths to widen the circle of the kingdom of God as wide as possible, because that's what Jesus taught us, and that's what Jesus modeled for us. And this is everybody. Everyone. It's who we already are. Grandmas and women over 60. You probably have noticed this. Our culture has kind of just written you off. You said, you know, move along. Fast-paced culture may have written you off. But God loves you, and you are a part of the kingdom of God. You can sit with us. Well, we want to sit with you. And even though it's become a bad phrase in our culture these days, guess what? Over 40 white males, you too, we are important in the eyes of God, and you can sit with us too. The kingdom of God is full of all kinds of people, races, backgrounds, genders, and beliefs, and the Gospel of Mark shows us the real Jesus who is willing. Contrary to some fears, no one is suggesting an anything-goes approach to sexuality and our identity. We as Jesus followers are called to responsibility, to ethics, and accountability. We as Jesus followers, however, should make no mistake. Every single one of us comes to Jesus in need of healing. I don't care who you are. We all need healing. Our world needs healing. Oh, y'all, our world so needs healing. And the truth is, we probably cannot heal the whole world from here. But, you know, what if we can? Some may say that that is a fairy tale, to which we can reply, what part of the gospel doesn't invite us to believe in impossible big things? Salvation for all of humanity? Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. That is asking you to believe in fairy tales. That's asking you to believe in impossible things. But how wonderful is that? I want to be a part of the kingdom of God that believes all this stuff that we say is actually true. Because you know what? Sunday mornings, sitting in here with y'all, in here, I believe all this stuff that I'm saying. I believe all this stuff that we're reading, and I'm so excited about it. But Monday is coming, and it's going to be harder. I promise you, it's going to be harder to believe on Monday and Tuesday. But here today, let's be a part of a kingdom of God that believes all this stuff we say is true, because that would be a sign bigger than even the words. Heal the whole world from this room? Sure. Why not? But even if we cannot, we can participate with Jesus in healing a few, even ourselves, if in no other way than widening the circle of our language, so that anyone who dares to come to us and say, "If you are willing," we will never hesitate to answer them, whether you are angry at the world or just filled with compassion. We, as those learning mercy, will never hesitate to reply to a single God-loved soul, "We are willing." We are willing. We are willing.
Amen.